And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
All right, good morning and welcome into The Cradle and the Convert. Today is April 19th, 2000, what, Mark, 18?
Yeah, I think.
And I'm Dave Slade here with my co-host Mark Bartholomew back from the sunny climes of southern Florida.
Yeah.
Welcome home, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Where'd you get that parka?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I am cold, cold, cold.
Well, you see, you and I worked outdoors for years in this climate, and it didn't seem to bother us.
Well, it was 40 years ago, Dave.
Yeah, and now you've gotten spoiled by being down there in the subtropical parts of Florida, where it's really cold if it gets down to what, 63?
Yeah,
62?
we actually had early February some nights that were down in the 40s.
Oh my!
Yeah,
that's going to be the high today.
And they don't make furnaces down there like they do here.
They don't?
No.
Well, they don't need them for a couple of days a year, right?
Exactly. So you need, sometimes even sitting in your house, you need a jacket.
Well, you know, Mark.
Or a blanket.
We had an odd winter here without you. I think we had snow twice that I had to brush off the sidewalk.
No kidding.
I never had to shovel.
Wow.
We never really had really frigid temperatures for much over than a day or so at a time. And now we've had more snow this spring than I think we had all winter.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know, we've had several snows since Easter. They say the weather you have on Easter is what you're going to have for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's an old wives' tale, by the way.
Yeah.
But if it rains on Easter, they say for the next 6 Sundays it's supposed to rain.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Of course, we had snow on Easter.
Yeah, that's nice.
And guess what? For the last 2 Sundays,
it has snowed.
We've had snow.
Boy, is that the truth.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
We're glad you're back with us. We hope you got relaxed and
I did.
Had a good time down there.
Definitely did.
Good.
Definitely did. It was. It's been a dream to get out of the cold weather.
Yeah.
And just the aging process, you know, aggravates that.
Yeah,
arthritis and all the other maladies that affect people.
Well, we're going to have a guest with us on the show this morning. Chris Bivens from the Knights of Columbus is going to join us after a break. Hey, I found an article I thought you'd find interesting, and I've kept this till you got back.
Okay, good.
It's from the National Catholic Register, which is a service of EWTN, and it's an article about cradles.
Yes.
And converts.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I saved it for us, since I'm the cradle and you're the convert.
Well, bless your heart.
It's cool. This article talks about the differences between cradles and converts and how sometimes we cradles see you converts and we kind of envy what you have, since you found the church in your own way.
Okay.
And learned, you had to learn about the church,
right.
You know, either through RCIA or back in the day they called them instructions.
Yeah, right.
You had to take it upon yourself to learn about the church, whereas we cradles, you know, I was born Catholic. I remember starting probably as soon as I could talk, mm-hmm. saying my prayers in the evening and the God Bless Mommies and Daddies,
right.
and the saints, and,
yes.
you know, First Communion when I was in first grade, and, you know, attending Catholic schools. That I have been indoctrinated is not a really good word to use, but I mean,
oriented
ever since a baby.
Sure.
You know, I went back and checked on my baptismal record. I was baptized on 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, so the Pope said we should find out our baptismal date and set like a birthday. Well,
absolutely.
Mine's easy. It's March 4th of 56, yep. 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mine was August 16th of 1974.
Well, and here's the thing about a convert. You have a conversion story that you can tell. Something that led you into the church. Something
right.
that brought you your curiosity into wanting to
right.
find out about the Catholic Church. And, well, we don't have that. And some of the great conversion stories, you know, Dr. Scott Hahn or Stephen Ray, they have these. Both of them were ministers in Protestant churches.
Uh-huh.
And both of them started out with the intent to disprove the truths of Catholicism. They both were going to prove that the church fathers and all of that was just bunk. And by the time they got debunking it, they were both confirmed Catholics.
Right, right.
So,
and that's more common than you think, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people, especially the ministers in those other congregations that want to become Catholic, that's career, and they're putting it all on the line because they can't come and be Catholic priests,
right.
although there are some now that they're allowing married men to become priests if they're already married when they get the calling. But here's the thing. Cradle Catholics may feel like we've been left out of the self-discovery of Catholicism. You know, the church is so rich in tradition and intellectually prolific that you could spend your whole life studying sacred scripture and writing of the saints and not scratch the surface of that knowledge.
That's interesting.
Well, and we've had a lifetime. This is one thing that the converts like about the cradles. We've had a lifetime to discover the fullness of the church.
Right.
And I guess it's kind of like if you live in Ireland, you know, you don't always see everything in Ireland is so special. But as a visitor right. to Ireland, everything you're in awe of.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, that's
and,
true.
And when you're in Ireland, people want to ask you about the United States. And to us, well, you know, we've always been in the United States. So there's kind of an interesting thing. You see, cradle Catholics seem to have an ease or a natural about us when we're in the church, that converts could very easily be, I wouldn't say jealous, but maybe a little envious of.
Yeah, I think that's
And you
true.
Can tell the difference when you walk in a Catholic church because of the tabernacle and the Eucharist is being reserved in that tabernacle. There is something different about it, right?
Absolutely.
Well, converts ignite the joy of the church, and cradles help us incorporate that enthusiasm into everyday life. So, you know, as you being a convert to the faith and me being a cradle, we believe the same things. We just found different roads to that truth. And, you know, sometimes I wish RCIA wasn't as long as it is. But if you're going to take on the mantle of becoming Catholic, you really need to know what it is you're getting into.
Well, one of the things, Dave, that drives so many people, similar to Dr. Hahn's story, is the fact that they maybe they're completely agnostic, and they just find the Catholic Church abhorrent because of its, quote, cult. Unquote, mm-hmm. as right. it's been referred to by Protestants and non-believers, burdensome and bureaucratic and not really oriented towards God, but more a business and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. There's a million things we could talk about that. But they look for ways to shoot it down and to convince themselves that it's totally heresy. And so they begin to investigate, but you look at every single Protestant religion, there's a difference between it and the other Protestant religions. And their Bibles, in fact, they use are different because they're based on that verbiage in the Bible. So they begin a search for truth, as you know, Pilate ask mm-hmm. Jesus,
what is truth?
What is truth? And so they get this search going, and when they begin investigating the Catholic Church and trying to pick it apart, they find out this has been here for 2,000 plus years.
And a lot of people have tried to pick it apart.
Oh, my gosh. The best have tried to pick it apart. Yeah. And it's the truth boils down to what Catholics believe. And the answer to what is the truth, it is the church, the first Christian church. And not that there weren't bumps in the road the way.
It's still bumpy.
Yeah, and there were dark moments. But for the most part, the faith has ring true from the days Jesus' physical feet walked, his mortal feet walked the roads. Yep. And that is what tends to bring people to the Catholic faith and to find true joy.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we've got a guest in the studio this morning.
Yeah.
Mr. Chris Bivens from the Knights of Columbus. He's going to be here after this break. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the KCs these days, and we'll get he's got lots of stuff over there. Look at him. He's doing notes.
Do you suppose he really knows? He seems to be studying pretty
I don't know.
Hard.
He seems like a pretty sharp guy.
I think he's cramming.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break here on the Cradle and the Convert. On the other side, we will come back with Mr. Chris Bivens, and we'll talk about the Knights of Columbus. Okay, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save.
All right, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert. This morning we're going to talk to Chris Bivens from the Knights of Columbus. And you know, when we search our consciences and we ask, Lord, who shall I send?
Yes.
You know what? You can send the Knights of Columbus. Because indeed, joining the Knights of Columbus, probably the largest fraternal organization in the world, I would guess, send us, Lord, when you have a job to do and stuff in the community and a way to share the faith between men, Catholic gentlemen, the Knights of Columbus is an organization that's there. And you and I, Mark, are both members of the Knights of Columbus and have been for, I don't know, 50, 60 years, it seems like.
Probably.
I joined in 75.
Oh, 70.
And then I brought you in, I think.
Yeah, in 77, I think, for or you? 76. I can't remember what year.
So we'll have to check with Chris. We might be eligible for free membership now because we're so old and have
you
been
think?
Members for so long. I don't know. Good morning, Chris Bivens, down at the far end of the studio.
Good morning, David. Can you hear me from here?
I can hear you now.
Oh, good. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Chris. It's good to have you back, buddy. I missed you.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
I missed you, too.
Did you?
Yeah, you got a nice tan, sir.
Oh.
Very nice.
It's probably windburn and frostbite.
You know, welcome to the tundra.
Isn't that the thing about snowbirds? They go down all winter long, and they enjoy weather that's just fantastic. They get their tents, and then they come back here in the middle of April, and they whine about how
cold
it is.
It is cold.
Look at me shiver and shake. And come on, man.
No.
Grow up.
I vowed I would never do that, but it just comes. It's a curse. Once you're down there and
To worry, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Well, did you get to travel anywhere this summer, Chris? Anywhere where it was warm?
Let's see. I made it to a little weekend jaunt down in Arkansas.
Oh, oh good for you.
It wasn't that much warmer.
where were you? Table Rock or Bull Shoals or
down in Little Rock area?
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. So we've invited you in this morning to talk about what's going on with the Knights nationally and locally. And first tell us, Chris, you are the representative for the Knights of Columbus Insurance here for the Central Illinois region or?
Well, they assign us different councils. And at the present time, I'm assigned to the Lincoln Council 1250, Decatur Council 577, and Mount Zion Council is 11582, and along with Assumption 1026.
Okay, so Assumption. Well, you know, they can hear us if the wind's blowing right down there in Assumption.
Yeah.
But so you've got a pretty large swath of Catholic gentlemen here that you represent for the KC Insurance.
Best group of guys you could ever hope to work with.
Good.
I mean, every time I get to visit one, I'm just thankful every time. So.
Good
Amen.
Deal.
Amen. So what are you bringing us this morning that you want to chat about, my friend?
Well, there's a couple of items on the agenda. The first one would be a recent membership initiative that we've started here in Illinois. It's been going on in different states for the last few months, but we are the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world. And over $170 million in money was raised last year and given to charities.
Wow.
Over 70 million man hours last year. We continue to grow. Now in 16 countries, almost 2 million strong. So very, very close to having 2 million members. A little history to go back on. We might be very well known for our fish fries and Tootsie Roll drives, pancake sausage
breakfast.
The breakfast, sure. And, of course, the Special Olympics. We helped start the Special Olympics with Eunice Shriver back in the 60s.
Wow.
But the truth be known, Father Michael J. McGivney, our founder, and a handful of men formed the Knights of Columbus in 1882 in a basement of St. Mary's Church in New Haven, Connecticut. That was back in when the world was a little bit different, 1882. And the sole purpose for forming the Knights of Columbus was to protect our faith and to protect our families. And in those days, safety nets were just a dream for families, not just Catholics, but any family in America. There was not a lot of things to help people if something happened to the breadwinner. And if something happened to Dad and Mom was left at home with the kids, if she couldn't afford to raise them or had somebody to sponsor her, then the event would happen. They'd come in and take the kids and put them in an orphanage. Mm. And Mom would get sold into indentured servitude, and the family was basically broken totally apart. And Father McGivney saw a terrible, terrible thing that happened. So he knew he had to do something, and he gathered the guys together and formed the Knights of Columbus.
Well, Chris, also, what is it not true that at that particular time, immigration into the United States by Catholics from other countries was really creating an influx, and some of the Americans that by birth were very upset with the immigrants coming in.
Correct.
And there was a lot of prejudice and sometimes outright hate of the Catholic faith.
There truly was. And many times a priest would be shot off the street.
Right, right, exactly.
It was a terrible time for America, really. And so that was a big part of it. The men that joined the Knights of Columbus could go arm in arm down a street and know that they were with their brothers and help protect the faith and grow the faith and their families, for that matter, because we were a hated group of people.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
But that being said, we still are growing. We have been for some time, and a lot of young men are joining. But unfortunately, we'd like to see more. So the Home Office, the Supreme Office, looked and figured out a way to try and get that to happen faster. And this is the digital age, and we've all got our little phones and things and ways to get. And if you think guys our age have phones like that, well, you should see the kids. But they came up with a method for men to join the Knights of Columbus online, basically. And they go on the website, kofc.org, kofc.org/joinus, J-O-I-N-U-S. And there's a little video there. There's some information. And they can join the Knights of Columbus online. You just fill in a few blanks. Might take 5 minutes or something like that. Now, this does not make them a member of any council. They basically go into what's called the state council. It's a catch-all. And the local council, where their zip code is when they join, the council that's assigned to that zip code will be notified that somebody has joined the Knights of Columbus from that zip code. And the council's responsibility, and falls a little bit to our shoulders too, reaches out, touches this guy, and says, hey, would you like to join our council? And gets them to come that way.
So when they do that, is that when they have the initiation and the
right.
degrees?
They can't get into a council unless they do the initiation.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, does this circumvent the 3 degrees?
Your Honor, as a Catholic gentleman, you can't say anything about that now. I know what you were going to say about the goat, but
oh,
no.
Be careful.
Oh, well, I ruined a good pair of pants.
Right now, it's pretty good. Of the new members that are coming in, about 10-15% of them are online. And of those that come in that direction, in the neighborhood of 60-65%, depends on which state you're checked with, because some have been in doing this longer than others.
Okay.
But it's about 60-65% will join a council within a few months of doing
online.
So it's getting that part done. They have access to the Knights of Columbus website. There's a special section for members only.
Uh-huh.
You and I wouldn't know about it, but it started because of this initiative. and it gets them up-to-date news on what happens around them, national events, charitable things. They still can, they could help out at the council with charitable events because they are a knight.
Sure.
They are a knight. It's just a lot of ways, and they can take advantage of protecting their families through our insurance program. And
amen.
That's really yeah. the way we started the Knights anyway, and it's a tremendous program, truly is.
Oh, I can vouch for that. I've got KC Insurance, life insurance, and nursing home insurance, or long-term care, they call it.
Yeah.
And it just, I have such peace of mind knowing that I have, what is it, a 4A-plus rated insurance policy for my life insurance, and that I have protected myself down the road if for some reason I would ever need extended care or assisted,
sure.
You know, nursing home care or whatever. It really does give you peace of mind when you have Knights of Columbus Insurance that you have done the best you can to take care of those that will care for you, you know, or may need the money once you're gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the younger folks maybe don't think about the long-term care. And those of us that are in our golden years, as they call them, that becomes a real concern. Because you don't want to be a burden on your family. And quite frankly, a lot of the recent generations aren't, how do I put this, emotionally, I guess, ready.
Come on, Father Simon, ready. Spit it out.
Emotionally ready. To take in a parent,
right,
an aged parent, or parents,
yeah.
and care for them. And
well, because most of them are still living in that parent's basement.
Yeah, that. Well,
just kidding, young folks listening yeah, today. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yes, yeah, we won't even go there. But my basement's clear, by the way.
Mine too.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I think that long-term care. Is something that the young folks, you know, Dave, when we got on the police department, the old-timers talked to us about pension
yeah.
and ICMA, which is a retirement account, a 457K. And, you know, we thought,
that's all 100 years down
yeah,
the road.
Who cares about that pension? I'm in here because I love this job, you know. But, boy, as you get older, you sure do thank those guys. And then you're the one lecturing the young pups. You know, you watch that pension and the pension laws, and you get yourself in, you put in savings and so yeah. on and so forth. So,
yeah. Well, and the KCs also have annuities and different
oh,
ways
absolutely.
To
oh,
to
yes.
To protect your money and
we do guaranteed things.
Yeah,
you know, we've got a fixed annuity that never loses. It never has a bad day. It might not go up as fast as you hope it does one day, but it still steady climbs. Life insurance, both term and permanent coverage, and then disability. Here lately, that seems to be a lot of what I do is protect younger guys.
Great.
And gals and their wives. We can take care of their families. So,
that's terrific.
So if something happens to them, I think it's 1 out of 4 employees will become disabled for at 6-month stretch.
You're
somewhere
kidding.
In their life.
Wow.
Somewhere during their working
yeah,
life.
Yeah, and that having that extra income is huge. It's huge. Yeah.
Well, that's the difference between losing your house or losing your car or whatever.
Yeah. You know, we faced that. I mean, that was a statistic that professionally we saw as very real. You know, we knew that. But that's shocking to me, Chris, that the average person that's not involved in a particularly day-to-day, minute-to-minute hazardous occupation.
It's not always. Matter of fact, about 70% of the time, it's something outside of work. You can step off of a curb
yes,
incorrectly.
That's true.
And bust up your leg, and
sure.
all of a sudden you can't work.
Yeah, that's
true. Depends
on
what you do for work, but there's certain things that happen. Cancers and pneumonia. And there's I don't know how many ailments that we can come up with, but things can happen to people at any time.
Yeah.
Really
Let
can.
Me remind the listeners, you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert this morning here on 88.9 and 96.5 with our guest, Mr. Chris Bivens from the Knights of Columbus. Chris, you and I had an interesting conversation the other day on the phone. We were talking about 3 and 4D darn it, there I go with the word again, that looks at the baby in the womb.
Ultrasound.
What? Ultrasound. Many syllables, Dave, no good.
Okay, Father Simon.
So we were talking about an ultrasound project that the Knights of Columbus have run throughout the country for quite some time. And we were just kind of kicking back between you and I. Maybe this is something we could get the community here locally involved in and purchase an ultrasound machine for one of the crisis pregnancy centers locally.
Yeah.
You know, these new 3 and 4D, have you seen them, Mark?
No, I have not.
It's just like looking at a picture. Remember the ultrasounds we saw?
Oh, yeah,
kids
It looked like a windshield wiper
and had hit bugs, and I couldn't tell what it was.
No.
I can't see anything.
And I thought it was probably a tape in there they played for everybody. See
this,
your baby?
This 3 and 4D is like looking into a portrait. You can see the baby's face, the features.
No way.
Absolutely amazing. And the success the crisis pregnancy centers have had with the women that come in crisis when they see that this is a child and not just a glob of cells has been through the roof. It's
really
amazing.
That's cool.
Isn't it over 80%, Dave?
They said that 80. If the women will see, or the women and the husbands or the boyfriends see this baby,
then
they want to keep it.
Wow, so, that's terrific.
And the Knights have been doing this throughout the country. I forget how many machines there are. I think by next year they're wanting to have several thousand in these different crisis pregnancy centers. And we should call Penny Weaver and find out if what they have out there.
Yeah.
And if there isn't some way that we, the KCs, WDCR, the parishes, the good folks at New Life Pregnancy Center can't somehow put together a plan that we can take step by step and get one of these machines.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't it? Now I have to ask a question because it's searing in my brain now. Is that same technology used for regular ultrasounds, like for DVT, deep vein thrombosis, and, you know, when they're looking for blood clots?
You know, that I don't know, Mark. I think it probably is.
You'd have to think so.
But you know what? There's a place here in Decatur up near Walmart, and I'm sorry I don't know the name of it, that has a machine that pregnant women go in and get pictures of the baby taken, and then when they have showers and things like, they have the pictures there where you can see the baby. So it amazes me to think that a private entity can have one of these. To you know, they're making money by selling these pictures.
Sure they are.
But that they must be somewhat affordable.
Yeah.
Especially if you had fundraisers and different things like that.
Sure.
So we kind of kicked that back and forth together and did some thinking about it.
I can tell you what's in effect now, because I did a little bit of research. I wasn't able to find a place with the 3D and a funding source. I have unable to find some things. But at the present time, the Knights of Columbus Supreme Office does a 50-50 cost sharing for any council that gets involved with raising money for an ultrasound machine. Now, that's the old style machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure there's a cost difference, what that is. But the councils, they can join together. I was involved briefly when I spent some time over west of here in Petersburg and Springfield, in that area. The councils there got together, four councils did, raised funds to buy a mobile van that had an ultrasound machine in it.
I remember seeing that on the news.
Put it together, the cost sharing, and then they got money from the Supreme Office to help with the cost of putting that together. So it can be done, and they get a lot of help from the national office. Tremendous amount of help. You think 50%, you only have to raise half the money.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous opportunity for this, for Macon County, if we can get something together, Dave.
Chris, a question just came to my mind. Is it possible, or are you aware of, anybody offering insurance, life insurance, on a yet unborn child?
As a matter of fact, the Knights of Columbus, when you're a member and at least one of the parents is insured through the Knights of Columbus, if there is a stillborn child, at least 20 weeks gestation, we will actually write a check, $1,500, to help cover the cost of that. So I don't believe there's any, and it's free.
Yeah.
There, you don't pay anything for that premium. It's just if it's a night, and one, either mom or dad is insured through the Knights, then we'll cover stillborn
child. Isn't it interesting that people, as a general rule, though, There is not. You cannot obtain life insurance until a child is